you think for yourself? We like that around here. This is American Viewpoints with Mike Ferguson.
Right after the Dobbs decision by the Supreme Court, there was a spike in violence and vandalism against some houses of worship, against some pro-life centers, and then it kind of left the headlines in the news. It turns out that was just the beginning, and churches are still in the targets of violent criminals. Is it political, ideological? Probably. But how bad is the problem, and what does it mean overall to our religious liberty in America? We're about to have some tough questions answered here. Joined now by Jeremy Dice, senior counsel with the First Liberty Institute. Jeremy, thanks for being on the program again. I came across the blog post on your website. It says there's a new report, record high hostility and violence against churches in America. And like I said, we knew that there was a spike after the Dobbs decision that attacked pro-life centers and family organizations and a lot of churches, particularly Catholic churches. But this is saying that didn't die down over time. This is a continuing issue, right?
It certainly is. Look, it's something that surprises even me, and I'm in this business every day. In fact, my entire focus of my practice is our houses of worship and religious institutions across the country. And I knew it. Look, you're right. After Dobbs, we saw that uptick in violence towards pregnancy care centers, most especially. We represent one down in Miami that was vandalized. It had those, that script on the wall put on there that says, for abortions aren't safe, and neither are you, and that sort of thing. And we got used to that. I hate to say we got used to it, but we were aware that that was an issue. We thought, that kind of issue died down and out of sight, out of mind. But this report from our friends at Family Research Council indicates that that violence continues against our houses of worship. That is really concerning to me, especially since I've said, and I think I even said this to Congress, that if we don't allow for the civil debate of our differences when it comes to issues of religion, most especially, the only situation we have to go to next would be this, which is violence. And that's terrible. That's why the founders put in place the First Amendment as sort of a steam release valve for people to express their disagreement without resorting to violence. Our country was going to be and has been different in that it has allowed for the expression of a difference of opinion through speech and expression rather than violence. And so this is very concerning in a country that values religious freedom and free speech, that more and more people seem intent upon resorting to violence rather than speech.
Is it more of just targeting houses of worship? I mean, looking at the chart, 2023 is more than double 2022 when it comes to violence or vandalism against houses of worship.
Yeah, exactly. Look, and people can go to firstliberty.org to review the entire report that we have posted on our website. But you're right, it breaks down pretty obviously, right? 315 instances of vandalism, 75 instances of arson, 10 related to guns, 20 related to bombs. These are not just like peaceful disagreements. These are violent acts that are intended to intimidate and interrupt religious worship services. I remember a couple years ago, where we had we defended some synagogues during the high holidays. They have a practice called kaporos, where they take a chicken, they recite a prayer, and then they slaughter the chicken. This is sort of reminiscent, if Protestants will analogize, to the scapegoat. That's kind of the same thing that they're trying to do with this practice, and they've done it since Moses. I mean, this has been a long time practice. It survived the Babylonian exile. It survived Nazi Germany. But there are animal rights activists in California in particular that are opposed to this practice because, goodness sakes, it happens to affect a chicken. Well, they've taken to violence themselves, splattering blood against the walls of these synagogues, tearing out the mezuzah out of their synagogue wall. They've come onto the property of the rabbi, stolen his chickens, and told them that the police are coming. And then when he called the police on them, they turned around and filed a civil lawsuit against him for daring to call the police for his protection. It's sad that the disagreement that we have when it comes to matters of faith are far too often being expressed violently and physically rather than trying to confront the truth of the issue at hand. I think because the left has lost that battle philosophically, they've been left with nowhere to turn but the violent side of things. we as a society have to push back against it and say, this is wrong. This is not who we are as a nation.
Is there a First Amendment application when it comes to law enforcement and to the crime aspect of religious freedom? I mean, is it possible for citizens to violate the First Amendment rights of other citizens?
Well, certainly able for them to violate the law, right? There's this law called the FACE Act, which stands for the Freedom to Access Clinic Entrances. This was put in place during the Clinton administration as a way to protect abortion clinics who at that time were under some terrible and wrongful physical attack. Well, the FACE Act was put in place, but Senator Greenlee from Iowa put in there a provision that would protect churches as well. So if any American undertakes to intimidate or interfere with access to or otherwise engage in violence towards a religious organization, a church in particular, they can face charges under the FACE Act, both criminal and civil, as a matter of fact. So state attorneys general, the United States Attorney General, could file lawsuits against people on the criminal side for having engaged in intimidation and interference with access to a house of worship, like what we're seeing in this report. Individual churches themselves could actually file lawsuits on the civil side to recover the loss in terms of damage to their property from these acts of violence. And so there's a very good law on the books right now that would protect these houses of worship. And I'd be happy to apply them to the extent that we can. And we've done that, actually, when it comes to the pregnancy care centers. Like I said, we filed a lawsuit in Miami on behalf of a pregnancy care center down there that was vandalized. And that lawsuit continues and is being very successful. The state of Florida joined that lawsuit. They filed their own lawsuit seeking penalties under the law, the Under FACE Act, that would penalize these vandals. The problem we've run into largely has been, and I feel almost embarrassed to have to say this, but it's true, it's that the Department of Justice has largely abandoned any application of the FACE Act on behalf of and in defense of religious institutions, pregnancy care centers, churches, and otherwise. The FBI have done their due diligence. They have found many of the perpetrators, but it's the United States Attorney's Office, the Department of Justice, that has declined to prosecute these claims in large measure because they're ideologically opposed to their success. That is justice denied, and every American is less rich because of it.
If appealing to the reason and appealing to the good faith debate isn't the answer, what is the first step we should be doing as a society, whether it's policy or otherwise, to not just get this under control, but get to a point where we can disagree philosophically or religiously without threatening lives or property? I mean, is there a first step that can be done overall?
Well, certainly. Let's enforce the laws that are on the books. I mean, these acts of violence are themselves criminal activities that can be easily prosecuted locally and federally. It's just that we've got U.S. attorneys that are abiding by the decisions of Washington, D.C. right now that don't support the prosecution of hardly any criminals, it seems, but most especially those criminals that are engaging in violence towards pregnancy care centers or houses of worship. That type of ideological opposition is simply wrong. And as I said before, it's justice denied, and it undermines the rule of law in our country. But more generally, and speaking somewhat philosophically, we as a nation have to renew our commitment to free speech and the promotion of a civil debate. Resorting to violence has been what we rejected as a society 200 plus years ago. That some amongst us are resorting back to that and retrospectively going back to that kind of, regressively going back to that type of behavior that has been found to be the worst thing for freedom in the history of man, is a giant step backwards in the cause of freedom. We ought to recommit ourselves to engage in a very clear and open civil debate, saying, I disagree with you on this point and that point, but stopping short of engaging in violence. That's what we're committed to at First Liberty, promoting the idea of a robust public square where we can have many viewpoints represented rather than trying to shut down our neighbors through some act of violence.
All right. And where do we learn more about what you're doing, including finding the article that I found, Record High Hostility and Violence Against Churches in America?
Yeah, go to firstliberty.org and you can read that story and learn about all the cases we're doing to defend religious freedom for all Americans.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you, sir.
It's not just violence against churches. Crime is up overall around the country. So what's the solution? Do we need more laws, and do we risk giving government too much power and violating our rights in the meantime? Complex discussion, but it's coming your way just ahead, right here on American Viewpoints.